You know, Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God, and he was sent by Almighty God, and he made the Father known to the people. He healed, he loved, he cared, he showed mercy, he was gracious, he spoke the truth, and he was one of those, the most magnificent man that ever walked the face of the earth. And yet, the people that he was sent to had two reactions. They hated him, and they loved him. You know, sometimes you just can't win with people, you know? And the people who were threatened by the Lord Jesus Christ were the religious leaders, the people who had something to lose. And they really did hate him with the hatred that, you know, you can have to muster up. You really have to work hard to get that hatred. He would walk in, he'd heal a man, yeah, with the withered hand. He'd heal them, and then immediately they wanted to throw him off a cliff because he did it on the wrong day. You know, so like I said, there are many people in this world you can't win. Okay? And don't expect them to treat you better. That's what he said. You know, I'm your Lord. If they, you know, hate me, they're going to hate you. So get over it. Don't worry about it. Don't let it wreck your day. Don't let it wreck your day. Just stay steadfast towards him. Because you ain't going to change it. Now, having said that, in Matthew 13, Jesus Christ switches things in his ministry. He's been preaching and teaching the kingdom of God. He's been showing them by miracles and signs and wonders that he's the Messiah. And if you read the couple of chapters before this, they get so vicious and so antagonistic towards him that the miracles he's doing, they're saying that he does them by some devil spirit. And that's it. And he talks about the unforgivable sin. Say anything you want about me, but you sin against the Holy Spirit, it's over because you've rejected the Christ. You've rejected what God has sent. You've rejected God himself. And then he starts to teach. And in chapter 13, it says, in the same day went Jesus out of the house, and he sat by the seaside, and a great multitude were gathered together unto him, so that he went into the ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, now he's got this multitude. I mean, and he starts with the parables. He says, behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell on the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. And some fell upon the stony places, where they had not much earth. And forthwith they sprang up, because they had no depthness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched. And because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among the thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. Others fell on good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100, some 60, some 30. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Now, he's got this multitude in front of him, and he gives them this thing. That's why I said things have changed. Things have changed because he doesn't do this before this. He doesn't use power, and it's going to explain exactly why things have changed here. So, just follow me. And the disciples, they came to him, saying unto him, why speaketh unto them in parables? He hadn't done this before. What are you doing? What's going on? Why are you doing this? And he answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but unto them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that which he has. Therefore speak I unto them in parables, because seeing they see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing you shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing you shall see, and not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their hearts, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for you see, and your ears, for you hear. There's two reasons for parables, all right? The first great reason for parables, and by the way, there are no parables in the church epistles. What I'm teaching you applies to Jesus, and it applies to his ministry. It doesn't apply to ours, okay? He's got a multitude in front of him, and 99% of them, you know, I just throw that out as a number. A great majority, they're just curiosity seekers. They're his critics. Let's see what's going on here. They're not hungry for the word. They don't want to hear the word. In fact, like I said, for several chapters before this, all he is getting is criticism, deep spiritual hatred, and a rejection of the people of Israel. So he says, all right, I'm going to weed out the crowd. I'm going to start talking to them in parables. And it's just like the people who walk in, you know, they see what's going on in the club. Or they, you know, I remember up at Silver Bay, we were up there in New York, and we were teaching. I was teaching up in front. And all of a sudden, the governor in New York came by. You know, he was hanging out up there, too. And he walked in, and he stayed a few minutes. He saw what was happening. He shrugged his shoulders and he left, right, in the middle of the teaching. I'm not judging him or nothing. He just, you know, wasn't what he was into. Wasn't what, maybe he had something else to do, maybe he just came in because he was curious. What's going on here? What group is this? That's what Jesus has got. There's a multitude in front of him. And yet, they got eyes, but they can't see. They got ears, but they can't hear. And it's really a fulfillment of what God said is going to happen in Isaiah. So he says to them, but blessed are your eyes, for you see. See, this is the other great thing about parables. One is to conceal the truth from those who are not interested. And the other aspect of a parable is it reveals and magnifies the truth to those who really do want to know. It paints a picture of the doctrine. And, you know, a picture is worth, what, 1,000 words?
10,000.
10,000, excuse me, for the picture man. I got the two picture men over there. Said, but blessed are your eyes, for you see, verse 16, and your ears, for you hear. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which you see, and hear those, and have not seen them, and hear those things which you hear, and have not heard them. Hear you therefore the parable of the sower. I want you to understand this message that nobody else could understand. And by the way, you couldn't understand it unless I explained it to you also. Many of you have read this, but let's just read it again. Hear you the parable of the sower. When any one of you heareth the word, of the kingdom, and understand it not. Then comes the wicked one, and he catcheth away that which is sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed on the wayside. But he that receives the seed in the stony places, the same is he that heareth the word. Everybody hears the same word. It's the same seed. And immediately, anon, with joy, he receives it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but he durst for a while, he hangs out for a while. For when tribulation and persecution arise because of the word, by and by, immediately he is offended. He also that receives the seed among the thorns is he that hears the word. And the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. But he that receives the seed in the good ground is he that hears the word and understands it, which also bears fruit, and brings forth some 100, some 60, some 30. Then he speaks another parable and another one and another one, and he paints this beautiful tapestry of what the kingdom is about and what it looks like. All of these, this is, you got to ask yourself the question. I believe this is true of us as individuals day by day, as well as a lifetime of people, you know, nations. How do you hear the word? He that has ears to hear, let him hear. The unbelievers, and sometimes you and I on a hard-hearted day, don't want to hear it. For whatever one of those three reasons. You have to choose how you hear. Go to Luke 8, I think it is. This is just, it's the same parable, except he adds a little information. And I just want to show you what is added here. So I kind of look at this as the parable of the ground. What kind of ground are you? What kind of ground are you right now? That's, you got to choose. And it's a choice. All of these things, they all heard the same powerful gospel. They all, these people that were there the weeks before, the days before, they all saw the miracles. They saw what they wanted to see. They heard what they wanted to hear. And it was all filtered through their evil. And yet they had the most righteous, powerful, loving man that's ever walked the face of the earth in front of them. So in verse 8:15 is that last verse of that parable again. But that on the good ground, they which in an honest and good heart have heard the word and they keep it. They hear the word and they keep it, and they bring forth fruit with patience. No man, when he hath lighted a candle, he covers it with a vessel, but he puts it under the, or puts it under the bed, but setteth it upon a candlestick, that it may, that they which enter in may see the light. For nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be made known and come abroad. Take heed, therefore, how you hear. You pay attention to how you hear. For whosoever hath, to him it shall be given. And whosoever hath not, he won't hear. From him shall be taken away even that which he seemeth to have. He ain't messing around. You hear, I mean, most of you have been with me forever, right? A long time. But there are times you come, there are times you sit, there are times you're in a meeting, there are times that you're sitting there hopefully reading your Bible every day. Because if you ain't, you're just kicking the can down the road. All right, don't do it. Get yourself an intimate relationship with the Word and ask yourself before you start reading it. First of all, ask God to help you open it up, and then make sure you want to hear. Because He'll give you more if you do. He'll open it up, He'll widen it out. It'll blossom. And your peace and your power and your love and your patience and your endurance will just grow. And you'll bear fruit. And you'll glorify God. But I ain't got time. It's the greatest thing that's ever been done. Greatest gift that's ever been given. And yeah, I don't have time. I'll let McCabe do it for me. That's a stupid thing, right? I ain't looking at you just in particular. Just, you're dumb as dirt if you do that. Don't allow yourself to go there. Because it's our attitude towards God's Word that determines everything in our life and how we choose to hear. And if we choose not to hear, then you lose it. And it just starts to dribble away. I have so many people from many years ago tell me, oh yeah, I took this class and I did that and I did the other thing. And then you talk to them and they got nothing there anymore. They don't even remember what they heard years ago. Not accurately. There's no fruit. This is the warning. Now remember what I said. Jesus does this because this is a judgment. This is the Lord God Almighty's judgment spoken by His Son on those who wouldn't hear Him. We don't do that. We're ambassadors. We just sent to deliver the message. We don't pronounce judgments. We just deliver. You want to hear? If not, brush the dust off your feet. You move on to the next guy. Not my job, but Jesus did this. And it was, and he says many times, don't throw your pearls before the swine. Don't waste time with those who don't want to hear. When they're hungry, maybe the next day they'll be hungry, but not today. See you later. No judgment, just speak and move. Not bad, huh? But really, realize what you got in your hands. Realize you have your Father's heart in your hands. Look at it. Read it. You know, put your heart and soul into and ask Him to open it up to you more and more each day, and He will. He will. And don't ever replace somebody else teaching you as a replacement for what you got to do yourself. Because, see, my son called me this morning for Father's Day, right? And I got really blessed because he called me. And Christine will call me a little later. She might have already called, but I didn't answer the phone. But it's that relationship. It's not the fact that, oh, happy Father's Day. Every day is Father's Day. Father's Day is not a big deal to me. Okay? Every day is Father's Day. I mean, it's nice to have it said, but it's the relationship that is, I'm more privileged that he's my son then maybe he feels like I'm his father. I tell you, that's what thrills me. It's the relationship we have, my son and daughter. It's the relationship I have. That's what it makes it sweet and worth something. It's your relationship with your father. And the only way you build that is with his word. You know, in 1 John it says, you know, if we sin, you know, we say we know him and we sin and do not the truth, then you're a liar. I mean, you don't get too much more black and white than that. So just, you know, today is Father's Day. He's your Heavenly Father. Pick up his word and ask yourself, how am I hearing? So that's what I wanted to share with you this morning.